thank the people who invited me, giving me the opportunity to share with you some thoughts. Inshallah, because we're at the doors of Ramadan, Ala Abwab Ramadan, I want to talk a little bit about the purpose of Ramadan, not so much about Ramadan itself, but about the purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كُتِبَ عَلَى يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْرِكُمْ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْرِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The Quran generally does not give a specific reason when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an injunction. Sometimes Allah does, and sometimes Allah tells us why He's doing a thing, and other times He doesn't. But in this situation, which is fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly why He's given us fasting, and that is in order to achieve taqwa. The goal of Islam itself is the acquisition of taqwa. In other words, for the Muslim to literally enter into the state of taqwa, which is a conscious awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It engenders a fear of the punishment of Allah and a desire for the pleasure of Allah in the heart of the servant. If you look in Surah Al-Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ, that everything in the heavens and the earth is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He is al-Malik, the King, al-Quddus, the Holy and the Pure, al-Aziz, the Precious, the Exalted, the Dignified, al-Hakim, the Wise, the Knower. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا, He is the one who sent amongst the unlettered people a messenger, رَسُولًا. And then He tells us, يَتْرُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ, that He recites to them the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and He purifies them. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمَ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةُ, and He teaches them the book and the wisdom. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْرُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, even though they had prior to that been in clear and manifest error. Now the Prophet ﷺ was sent as a messenger, and we are told in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّي الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ, those who follow the unlettered Prophet, the one who they find written in their own previous scriptures. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent a messenger from amongst the Ummiyin, but this messenger who was sent to the unlettered people, the peoples without a book, the Ummi is the one without a book, is the one without a book in this verse. In Surah Al-Baqarah, it refers to the illiterate Jews. But in this ayah, it refers to the Arab people who were not given a book. And we are told that the Jews and the Christians were also commanded to follow this unlettered Prophet, al-Nabir Ummi. And the Prophet ﷺ said that, I am from an illiterate ummah. إِنَّا أُمَّةٌ أُمِّيَّةٌ لَا نَكْتُبُ وَلَا نَحْسُبُ, we are an illiterate people, the Arabs. We neither read nor do we calculate. And in fact, he said that in relation to Ramadan. He said, we are an illiterate people. We neither read nor do we calculate. And then he said, الشَّهْرُ هَكَذَا وَهَكَذَا وَهَكَذَا, and he did that. He gave them 29, that the lunar month lasts for 29 days. وَإِنْهُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ فَكَمِّلُوا الْعِدَّةَ 30, and if it becomes cloudy, then complete 30 days. So Imam al-Shatibi says part of the nature of this deen is that at its foundation, it is quite simple and easily to understand. Easy to understand, not difficult. So this messenger was sent to all people, but first and foremost to the Arab people. He was sent to the Arabs first, and first and foremost to his own tribe, to the Quraysh, and first and foremost to his own relatives, to Bani Hashim. So the message of Islam always begins with your own family, and then it begins with the people closest to you, and then it begins with the people
outside of your own communities. And this is the nature of Islam. It has to be rooted in community. It has to be rooted in family. And if it's not, then we should simply give up the idea of changing the world when we can't even change our own families and our own communities. And this is part of the fantasy that many people hold. They talk about Islam as a salvation for the world, and yet Islam has not saved them. Because they have not chosen to take on the deen of Islam. So in order for us to purify the world, we have to begin with our own communities. And in order to purify our own communities, we have to begin with our own families. And in order to purify our families, we have to begin with our own souls. عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. Take care of your own souls, and you won't be harmed by the wrong of others. If you take care of your own souls. But we should not expect justice from others if we ourselves are not just, nor should we expect Islam and purity from others if we ourselves are not Muslims or pure. And so, when Allah sent this messenger, He sent him with a mission. The first was simply to declare the message. يَتْرُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. He recites to them His ayat. Now, if you look at the word بَعْثَ, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعْثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ. The word in Arabic, ba'atha, is a very interesting word, because Allah uses in other ayahs, irsal. Na'arsalna ilaykum rasula. We sent to you a messenger. But in this ayah, in the ayah of Jumu'ah, which is to gather, the day of gathering, which is also, Yawm al-Qiyamah is the day of gathering. So Jumu'ah is a preparation for Yawm al-Qiyamah as well. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He sent a messenger, but the word He used, ba'atha, is the same word to bring the dead back to life. So it is through the messenger of Allah and the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that an ignorant people, who by their ignorance they are the same as dead people, are brought back to life by listening to the truth of the message of Islam, the living message of Islam. لِيُنْذِرْ مَنْ كَانَ حَيَّا. To give warning to the one who was alive. So the Prophet ﷺ was sent to revive a dead people. They were dead with ignorance, to revive them with knowledge. أَوَمِنْ كَانَ مَيِّتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. The one who was dead, without knowledge and iman, فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. We brought him to life. وَدَعَنَّا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. And we gave them the light of Qur'an, the light of knowledge, that they walk amongst people with this light. And this is the transformative power that the deen of Islam has. It can transform entire peoples, as it did the Arabs, who were steeped in ignorance and jahiliyyah, in the worst conditions of degradation, of exploitation of their women, of their slaves, of their own animals. Islam elevated them and made them leaders of nations. This is the truth of Islam, and this is what it can do if one submits to the methodology that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, and the methodology is clearly articulated in this verse itself. يَتْرُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. The Qur'an must first be heard and understood. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And there has to be tazkiyah. There must be purification of the self. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. He is destroyed, the one who stunts the soul. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. He has had success, the one who nurtures and purifies the soul. And the word to grow and be purified is the same. In other words, as one is growing throughout one's life, one's purification process should be taking place. And this is the nature of Islam, is to move from a worse state to a better state and not the opposite. It is not to move from a good state to a worse state. And this is why the fitrah of children should be maintained. This is the importance of maintaining the fitrah of our children. Now if you look after saying tazkiyah, first, how is it that one is purified? One first has to recognize the nature of the soul itself. The human soul has three qualities. There is a nafs, which is called amara, which is a commanding soul that commands the evil. There is a nafs, which is called lawama, which is a reproachful soul when it wavers between truth and falsehood. And there is a nafs, called mutma'inna, which is finding a soul at peace in the dhikr, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first nafs, if you look at it, at the another aspect, which our scholars have identified, is that there is a vegetative soul, which is called the nafs al-nabatiyah, and its reality and source is water. Its reality and source is water. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. We placed from every living thing, we made it out of water. It is water that is the source of our own selves. And water is an element that can be polluted. And if it is, it's called khabith or najis. And it can be purified. And if it is, it's called tahir. And if it is purified and purifying, in other words, not only is it pure in itself, a salih, but if it's muslih, then it's called tahur. So the human being can be one of three things. He can be like water, which is the source of his nature, khabith, or najis. He can be tahir, he can be pure, and he can be tahur, not only pure, but purifying. And the Prophet ﷺ was somebody who wherever he went, he purified people because he himself was pure. We know that the angels split his own chest and performed the open heart surgery in the middle of the desert and took his soul out. His heart was taken out, and what was poured on it? Ice water. Ice water. It was water that purified the Prophet. Now the interesting thing about ice water, if you look at the nature of water, water, unlike other substances that we see around us, water can be within the natural temperatures that exist on this planet, can go into the three categories. A water can be a liquid, it can be a solid, and it can be a gas. And this is very unusual to find this in creation, but water can be all three. And this is the nature of the self. The self can be one of three. It can be either like a gas, in which if it's heated by the fire of shahawat, if shaitan, which is heat, heats up the soul, then the soul begins to take on a gaseous form and becomes arrogant and rises and dissipates into the air until it's nothing. Or it can be like water in its liquid form that takes on the shape of the container that it exists in. And this is the nature of people who, in good company they're good, and in bad company they're bad. In other words, mutadabdibun. And this is the nafs al-lawama. It's the reproachful self that goes between good and bad. But also the soul can be like ice, and this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma tahhirni bil ma'i wa thalji wal barad. Purify me with water, with ice, and with hail, which is rain made of ice. In other words, the soul itself can become fixed and firm with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can be like purified water, but thabit. And this is the nature of the Muslim. They should be people that have thubut, or be established in their deen, not able to waver, so that they can exist in any situation and they can't be broken easily. They can't be destroyed. They have to be strong in their deen. Now if you look at purifying the self, the self, there are the most destructive element of the self is two things. The first is what is called al-quwwa al-shahwaniya, which is the lustful or the appetitive self. And this is the self that desires. This is the self that wants things. This is the self that lusts. This is the self of the batn and the fart, of the stomach and the private parts. And if one submits to that self, one is taken to destruction. The other self is called al-quwwa al-ghadabiyyah. This is the other power within the soul. And this is the power which is irascible. It's the angry self. It's the angry soul. And if this is not purified, at its worst extreme, it can literally cause somebody to kill another human being without justice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the third thing that the self can be destroyed by is incorrect understanding, is incorrect The heart itself, the cognitive faculty of the human being, doesn't understand the truth. It misperceives creation. It sees things that are not there. It begins to worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether this worship be embodied in love of the dunya, in materialism, or in idolatry. And the idolatry can be subtle, or it can be crude. The crude idolatry of the animus is rare in our age. We now live in an age of subtle idolatry. The idolatry of ideas, the idolatry of the self itself. In other words, the self is elevated to the status of God. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, those who attakhadha ilahuhu hawahu, the one who takes his own caprice as his God, his own whims. He obeys his own whims at everything they command him. And this is what people in this culture do. They obey their own whims. And all of the advertisement is calling people to obey their own whims. So how does... And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sums up these three in His ayah, الَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٌ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ نَفْسًا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِحَقٍ. They don't call upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not kill a soul without right, that Allah has given it sanctity, وَلَا يَزْنُونَ, and they don't commit fornication. In other words, their understanding is correct, and they are in control of their quwwa, al-ghababiyya, their irascible self, and they're in control of their lustful self, or their appetitive self. Because the extremes of submitting to these self will take people to killing, and take people to fornication. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there are people that don't do that, and that is the mu'min. And how does one perform that? How does one achieve that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that fasting itself is what teaches the human being to do this. Fasting itself teaches the human being. لَعَلُّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And this is what Ramadan is. And moreover, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the gift in Ramadan of locking up the shayateen. In other words, the elements, the obsessive elements within the self that are whispering and commanding people, the impulsive voices in the self that command people to do wrong things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suppresses those, and you are left only with nafs, hawa, and dunya. So a major enemy is literally curtailed in the month of Ramadan. But there are still three other enemies that must be conquered. The nafs, the hawa, and dunya. And this is why in the month of Ramadan, what you are expected to do is suppress your sexual appetite. During the daylight hours, and particularly towards the last portion of Ramadan, completely. Because the Prophet ﷺ, they said about him, if the last 10 days of Ramadan came, كَانَ يَشُدُّ إِزَارَهُ, he used to tighten his izar. In other words, he did not go to his wives. So this is a time when one disciplines the soul, one disciplines the stomach, one disciplines the genitals. And then, one prefers the akhirah over dunya. And this is why during Ramadan, one is expected to do as much worship as possible. And towards the end of Ramadan, it is preferred that you abandon the world altogether and enter into the state of i'tikaf. To actually go into the masjid and completely abandon the world, including your work. Completely leave the world for a short period of time to disconnect the heart from the deep love of dunya that exists in Bani Adam. And if you conquer, shaitan is conquered for you in Ramadan. But if you conquer your nafs, your hawa and dunya, then at the end of Ramadan, you are ready to be of the muttaqeen, to enter into the world, and you're ready to be a khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you cannot do that, then we're not ready for anything. If we can't defeat those four enemies, we can never defeat the enemies outside of ourselves. And the difference between the sahaba and the rest of the people is there are people who conquered their four enemies. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala empowered them to conquer the world that stood before them. When they went into Persia, the Persians melted before them. When they went to the Romans melted before them. And people have yet, historically, to explain the phenomenon of the conquering Muslims that spread out from the Arabian Peninsula in the 7th century and moved within a short period of time to China and Andalusia. They have yet to explain that phenomenon with their own material sciences. They don't understand how it is that those people who had less, they had no civilization prior to that. They had no military experience of any seriousness. They were going up against civilizations that had centuries of organized warfare, centuries of organized strategy. Their generals studied in their schools to learn how to fight and defeat armies much greater than them. This is true of the Persians and the Romans, who had masters. You can read the books of Caesar. Those are the books they studied, the books of strategy, of how to fight wars. They developed sophisticated means and methods, like the phalanx and other things. This was the reality. But those desert Arabs who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went up against those armies and they completely annihilated them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is historically verifiable, and this is the reality of this deen, that those who take hold of it, they can conquer, if they conquer themselves, the entire world. Despite the power that is in the hands of the world, despite all of the things that they come up against, whether they are material obstacles, psychological obstacles, they will prevail. But if we cannot do that, then we can do nothing. And this is why Ramadan is a gift that returns each year. We don't know whether we will return to see Ramadan again as individuals, but it returns to this ummah each year as an opportunity once again to fight the diseases of the self, to fight the lust and temptations of the heart, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give charitably, to give ithar. This is part of our tradition, to prefer the akhirah over dunya. And the sign of one's preference of the akhirah over dunya is that they spend out, that they give up their dunya for akhirah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ. Wealth will never be diminished by charity, neither in this world nor in the next. But that is something that has to be believed with conviction. And if our Prophet ﷺ said it, then know that it's true, because he is a sadiq al-masduq. He is the truthful and he is the believed. And if you say, amin tu billahi wa bi rusulihi, then you have to believe in the words of the Messenger of Allah. You have to believe in the Quran when Allah tells us, anfiqo, spend out. Every morning there are two angels. One of them calls, oh Allah, give this one who is spending out, give him from your wealth, increase him in his wealth. And the one who's holding and withholding his wealth, the other angel says, Ya Allah, destroy his wealth. And the prayer of the angels is answered. Your wealth will either be destroyed in this world or the next world. Tabbat yada abi lahab. وَتَبْ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ. Abi Lahab was destroyed. He was destroyed. Neither his wealth nor what he earned in this world has enriched him one iota. And now where is Abu Lahab? The one whose wife used to put thorns on the path of our messenger in Mecca simply to hurt him. His own relatives simply to hurt him. In his call to Allah, for no other reason, put thorns in his path. Abu Lahab, who used to call people against his own nephew. And Allah told us, تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبْ وَتَبَّتْ. Where is Abu Lahab now? Where is Abu Lahab? Where is the wealth and power that Abu Lahab held, the prestige that he had in the people of Quraysh? It's gone. It's nothing. Because he was a fool. Because he didn't believe. And this is the nature of all of those who go against the Prophet. They end up not. If you study history, then you will quickly realize that the people that are remembered historically are the people who stood for truth. They're the ones that have their memories etched in the books of history. They're the ones that people look back on and speak about with kind words and with compassion and asking for them. When we mention Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi, we say Rahimahu Allah. رضي الله عنه. But if you mention tyrants, what do you say? Nothing. And this is the nature of the world. How do we want to be remembered? Not simply in the akhirah. How do we want to be remembered? Write your own obituary. Write your obituary. Everybody in here, write your obituary. How do you want people to remember you? How do you want people after you've died? Because some people, like the Prophet ﷺ said in the Sahih, al-Mustariḥ wa al-Mustarāḥ, The one who gets rest and the one who others get rest from him. They said, clarify for us, Ya Rasulullah. He said, the good servant who dies, he gets rest from the difficulties of the world. And like the Arabs say, fil mawti alf raha. In death is 1,000 rests and tranquilities. Every cell of your body can become diseased, can have pain. Every cell of your body can have disease and pain. When you die, if you died a mu'min, then you're free from that. You're free from the pain of dunya, from the suffering of dunya. You're free. But the one who's mustarah minhu is the one who was a foul slave, a foul servant. And when he dies, other people get rest from him. And then he enters into his suffering in the next world. If you believe it, then submit to the truth. And if you don't believe it, or if you're confused about it, then my advice to you is to read the Book of Allah. To reflect on the Book of Allah. Take this month and read the Book of Allah. A book that has engaged the most brilliant intellects. For the last 1400 years, it has engaged them and it has completely incapacitated them. It incapacitated those who disbelieved in it, and it engaged and excited and stimulated and fulfilled those who believed in it, whether they were great scholars or whether they were simple people who recited it in the night, crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the last 1400 years, this book has nourished the souls of a large portion of humanity. The greatest intellects that the world has seen have spent their lives studying the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, commenting on ayahs, looking at the meanings of simply one harf in the book of Allah, a fa, or an alif, or a lam. Engaged in the fact that Allah chose to use this word instead of that word, and recognizing the subtleties inherent in that choice. This is the book of Allah. This is what our messenger gave us. He left behind us a book. تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ أَمْرَيْنِ إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا لَن تَضِلُّ مِن بَعْدِ أَبَدًا. I left for you two things. If you hold to them, you will never go astray after me. The book of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the gift of Islam. It's a gift that all of us have been given. None of us gives Islam anything. Islam gives us everything. We give Islam nothing. If you spent all the wealth you had, you have not enriched Islam one iota. Islam is a gift to you. And if you spend your wealth and yourselves in the way of Allah, that is a gift to you. You are investing. That's what you're doing. So don't see yourself. لَا تَمُنُّ عَلَيْهِ إِسْلَامُكُمْ. The Prophet was commanded to say to the people, don't tell me what a favor you're doing me by becoming Muslim. بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. It is Allah who gives you the gift of Iman if you're truthful in saying that you're Muslims. The gift is from Allah. And all we are is showing gratitude. That is all we're doing when we expend. We are simply showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're showing gratitude to Allah for all that He's given us. So give out. Give out for the sake of Allah. It doesn't matter what you do. If it's a good and worthy cause for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spend out. There are many, many causes. And don't just spend with your wealth, spend with your time. Engage yourself. If you want your children to be upright, then be examples for them, because they'll follow you. They'll follow you. When I was out on the lake today, moving out in the ice, and I told my boys who were following me, I said, no, don't go any further. They kept coming. Why? Because they saw me out there. So if you go to a dangerous place, don't expect your children not to follow you. If you go to a dangerous place, don't tell your children to do things that you yourselves are engaged in. Don't do that. If you're smoking, don't tell your child not to smoke. What right do you have? You're a hypocrite. And the child recognizes hypocrisy. He has a hypocrisy meter that he carries around in his pocket. You see, really, they're quick. They're fast at it. They see it. It's a lie and they don't believe it. The best example is the example of the Messenger of Allah, who embodied everything that he told his people to do. He never did anything except that he was the first one to do it. And the story of Sayyidina Ali is well known. When a woman came and complained to him about the fact that her child was eating sweets and not eating good food, and Sayyidina Ali, and she asked Sayyidina Ali to tell the child not to eat any sweets. And Sayyidina Ali said, come to me with the child in 3 days. And then she came back, and then Sayyidina Ali told the child to stop doing that and to obey the mother. And then the mother asked Sayyidina Ali, why is it that you delayed me 3 days? He said, because I had to give up that thing before I could tell your child to give up that thing. You see, this is the example of the people. This is their example. So give out for the sake of Allah. And I'll just finish this by saying a few things. It's a beautiful hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, it's also related from Sayyidina Ali, and all of its meanings are true. It's a saying that says, كِتَابُ اللَّهِ فِيهِ نَبَأُ مَا قَبْرَكُمْ. The book of Allah, in it is news about those who came before you. وَخَبْرُ مَا بَعْدُكُمْ. And news about those who are coming after. In the book of Allah, you can find the news of those who are coming after if you look with a discerning eye. وَحُكْمُ مَا بَيْنُكُمْ. It is a way of ruling and judging between you, amongst you. هُوَ الْفَصْرُ لَيْسَ بِالْهَزَلْ. This is a word that comes with seriousness and separates truth from falsehood. It's not a frivolous word. It's not a light word. And it's not a joke. مَنْ تَرَكَهُ مِنْ جَبَّارٍ قَصَمُهُ اللَّهُ. The one who leaves this book arrogantly, Allah will break his back. And look at our ummah. Look at our ummah. Look at the broken back of our ummah. We were given guidance. Imam Qadi Iyad has a section in his book, The Shifa, called The Stupidity of a People Who Leave the Guidance of Their Prophet for the Guidance of Other People. SubhanAllah. The stupidity of a people who leave the guidance of their prophet for the error of others. مَنْ تَرَكَ هُدَى نَبِيِّهِمْ لِيَضَلَالَةِ غَيْرِهِمْ. They leave the guidance of their prophet for the error of others. And this is the Muslim Ummah. People buy books. Somebody asked me, you know, what's the best book for understanding the world, you know, for this and that and that? And I said, SubhanAllah, how can you recommend any book other than the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How? How can you recommend any book other than the book of Allah? And the Prophet complained to Allah when he said that my people have taken this book and forsaken it. And that was the Jahili Arabs. Not the Muslims. What about the Muslims of the 15th century today? Not the 20th century. We're not on the verge of the millennia. Our millennium doesn't come for a while yet, right? Well, 500 more years, then we have a millennium. There probably won't be a millennium because time is running out already. وَمِنْ يَبْتَغَ الْهُدَى. And I don't even know in 2 years, right? The Muslim millennium, Allahu A'lam, but even the Christian millennium, Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. The way things are going, right, in Canada and everywhere else. وَمِنْ يَبْتَغَ الْهُدَى فِي غَيْرِهِ أَبَلَّهُ اللَّهُ. And there you have it. Whoever seeks guidance in other than the guidance of Allah, Allah leads him astray. هُوَ حَبْرُ اللَّهِ الْمَتِينِ. This is the firm and sound rope of Allah. What do you use a rope for? A rope is to get you out of places. It gets you out of the depths of despair, the book of Allah. Grasp the rope of Allah. You don't need Prozac. Right? Wallahi. You don't need Prozac. And there's probably people in this room on Prozac. So I'm not making this up. They call it Prozac Nation in America. You know, everybody's on Prozac. What do you do for depression, they say? First of all, it's self-indulgent to be depressed. It's much worse. The state of affairs in the world is way beyond depression. If you're depressed, you're just self-indulgent. Really, it's way, way past ideas like pessimism and optimism. It's way beyond that. Look around you. Look around you. So the rope of Allah, because that's the only thing, it comes down from the sky and it will take you and lift you out of the dregs of this dunya, take you to another realm. I'm not making this up, commit yourself to the book of Allah. وَنُورُهُ الْمُبِينَ It's a clear light. You walk with a clear light amongst the darkness that people are in. وَهُوَ ذِكْرُ الْحَكِيمِ It is the wise reminder. In other words, if you constantly go back to the book of Allah, you are reminded again and again. وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ مَرْجِعُكُمْ You're going back to your Lord. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَّهِ رَاجِعُونَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونِ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ You will return to your Lord. يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعْثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا هَذَا مَا وَعْدَ الرَّحْمَانِ Oh, woe to us, who woke us up, who brought us back to life after we were dead. This is what the Rahman promised, and the messengers were truthful. Many ayahs in the Qur'an reminding us of the temporality of dunya. It's a temporal world, it doesn't last forever. All this room now, everybody in this room, in 100 years there won't be a soul alive in this room. We'll all be dead. And the room, if there's a world, it will be filled by other people. It'll be filled by other people talking, arguing, laughing, crying, being depressed. They'll probably have new drugs other than Prozac to make them feel good. Right? Same human condition, same human predicament. وَهُوَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ It is the straight path. The Qur'an is the straight path. لَا تَزِيغُ بِهِ الْأَهْوَاءِ Your passions and caprices will not deviate if you follow this book. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ commenting on that, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ وَاحِدُكُمْ حَتَّى تَكُونَ هَوَاهُ تَبَعَنِي مَا جِئْتُ بِهِ None of you truly believes until his own caprice is in accordance with what I've brought. وَلَا تَلْتَبِسُ بِهِ الْأَلْسِنَى If you speak by the Qur'an, your words will never be ambiguous. You'll be clear if you use the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَتَشَعَّبُ مَعْهُ الْأَرَىٰ You will not have differentiating opinions if you refer back to the book of Allah as it was understood by our rightly guided scholars and as it was explained by the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not by ignorant people trying to lead people astray by pulling ayahs out of context or interpreting them in ways that they were not intended. وَلَا تَشْبَعُ مِنْهُ الْعُلَمَاءُ The scholars will never be satiated from this book. No matter how much knowledge you get, you will never be satiated from the book of Allah. If you spend your entire life studying the book of Allah, you will never be satiated. وَلَا تَمَلُّهُ الْأَتْقِيَاءُ The people of taqwa, the people of ibadah, they never grow tired or bored of reciting the book of Allah. There's a pleasure in the reciting the book of Allah. But the problem is, and I'll tell you something about this. If you eat junk food, like McDonald's, it tastes good. That's why people keep going back. They eat the hamburger and they drink the milkshake. And if you give them an avocado sandwich with organic lettuce and whole wheat bread, they'll spit it out. This is true. Somebody used to eating junk food, they can't eat healthy food. It doesn't taste good. But somebody who eats healthy food, I guarantee you, because I do, somebody who eats healthy food, they get sick if you give them junk food. They feel sick. Wallahi, they feel sick. You drink Coca-Cola, I can't drink Coke. It makes me ill. I can't drink it. I'm not making this up. You can ask my wife, she's not here right now, but she'll tell you, I never drink Coke. I don't eat ice cream. I don't eat like cakes and things. It makes me sick. Why? Because I've accustomed myself to eating good food. So I can't eat it. And my wife, who used to eat a lot of junk food before she married me, we went to somebody's house once, and they brought her like a French toast made out of like a white bread, and they had this phony maple syrup, right? It wasn't Canada, it was America, right? It had phony maple syrup. She told me she couldn't eat it. She felt sick, and she ate it to be polite. And afterwards, when we were driving back, she said, you know, it's amazing, that's the same French toast my mother used to make. I grew up with that, and I can't eat it anymore. Why? Because she got used to eating wholesome food, so it made her ill. The same is true. You listen to junk music, you watch junk television, when you actually enter into the spiritual world of the Quran, you don't like it. I guarantee you, you won't like it. You'll get bored. You'll start reading it and you'll want to turn on the TV. You'll want to turn on the music. Because it's junk food. And junk food tastes good. Right? But in the long run, what happens? Your heart fills up with atherosclerosis. You get diseased tissue. And one day you drop dead of a heart attack. And the man who's eating his healthy food, he jogs by the funeral procession at the age of 75. And says, I wonder what he died from. And the spiritual world is true too. You see people listening to all their music and all their television and entertainment. What happens? They want more and more and more. And it never satisfies them. And they get sicker and sicker. And the heart, the spiritual heart dies. Just like junk food kills the physical heart, junk entertainment, junk stories kill the spiritual heart. Why does Allah call this Ahsan al-Qasas, the best story? Because we as human beings need stories. We need stories. We thrive on stories. We want to hear stories. We want to hear legends. We want to hear the people of the past, what they did, why they were great. What were their weaknesses? We want to hear them. And if you want, Hollywood will keep pumping them out, giving you stories. But they're silly stories. They're meaningless stories about robots. Really? They're meaningless stories about people who have no character, no qualities. They're two-dimensional. They're empty. They're filled with lust. They submit to their lowest nature. They can kill people and laugh because they have no soul. And if you watch those stories, you'll kill your soul and you'll die. But if you give up that junk food and that junk entertainment, initially this is going to be difficult because it's like whole wheat bread. It takes a while to get used to. It's integral. It's khubz al-hayah. This is the bread of life. If you eat it and digest it, it will nourish your body. And before long, you won't want anything but this. You won't want to hear the other stories because they're fairy tales. They're empty and they're meaningless. They don't sustain you and they don't nourish you. They don't sustain you and they don't nourish you. So, the month of Ramadan, my advice to every single person in this room, if you have a television, the best thing to do is get your hammer. And as a family ritual, all the members, and you do it together. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and you just hit. It's not hard to do. It's a purgative. You'll feel good. You'll have this cathartic release. Allahu Akbar. Like the bumper sticker in California says, kill the beast. Kill your TV. That's what it says. There's a bumper sticker in California. Kill the beast. Kill your TV. You can do it. The Jewish rabbi in London, whose Orthodox community, he prohibited them with a Jewish fatwa for watching television. And when one of the BBC people asked him, why is it that you prohibit the television? He says, because we view it like an open sewer in the front room that floods its filth into your mind and pollutes the heart. If a Jewish rabbi can see that, why can't the Muslims see that? Why can't the Muslims see that? And if you can't do that, if you don't have the courage and guts to do that, if you're worried about the fact that you just spent $1,000 on your 49-inch television and you just got your home entertainment center, right? That was 6 months zero interest, right? Tonight you give $100. But for the home entertainment center to watch empty stories, Allahu Akbar. People will dish out, right? They'll dish out for the satellite dish. That's right. Not for Allah, not for the Messenger, not for the Deen of Islam, but for empty, pornographic, meaningless stories. They'll pay good money, hard-earned money, hours of work. That's what they'll do. So if you don't have the courage to smash it with a hammer, then have somebody in the family hide the wire, the extension, and promise they won't tell anybody where it is. They hide it and have the other people hide the television so nobody knows where it is. Because you don't want anybody sneaking up before Sahur and plugging it in, right? Because it's an addiction. It's like heroin, right? You get used to junk, right? White powder junk. Start putting in the veins, you get addicted to it. And make a promise, the whole family. Make an oath to Allah. It's called a nadhar. Make an oath to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's called a nadhar and it's binding. If you break it, then you have to make a kafara. Make an oath to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's mustahab for ta'ah. Make an oath to Allah. Wallahi ya Allah. Alzamtu nafsi li wajhika al-kareem an la anzur ila al-tarbizum. I won't look at the television for this entire month. Just 1 month for the sake of Allah. Turn off your television. And the time that you would watch television, read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read it with your family. Sit and study the book of Allah. Take this month and do that for the sake of Allah and see if your life is not enriched. And if it's not, right, if you smashed it, I'll personally pay for it. You can write me, right? I did what you said and my life was miserable for the month and I need to buy a television because I actually gave all my money to the Muslims that night, right? So I need a television. I actually can't pay because it's haram to buy a alatul lahwan in Sharia. You can't buy an instrument of empty entertainment. Prohibited by Sharia. Right? And don't say, well, I only watch Islamic tapes. Right? No, go and spend some time with Muslims instead of watching Islamic tapes. Right? Jazakum Allah khairan, wafakakum Allah inshaAllah. May Allah give all of us tawfiq. May Allah put iman and ihsan in our hearts. May Allah give generosity tonight. And inshaAllah descend sakina on the people, everybody in here. Sakina that they spend out and just bismillah. Just Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.